with how early it is, I think it's such a massive land grab opportunity. And again, with all the other social platforms we talked about, when new apps come out, there's a land grab for creators and for brands to get in there and be early. And currently, there is a higher demand for content on Lens than is being supplied. It's always supply and demand.
Happy New Year, everyone. It is Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. This is my first interview of the new year, so I'm excited here to be joined by Chris Comrie. So Chris is a beloved content creator. I think he's also better framed as an educator. He's an investor. And what resonates most with me is he's a power user who's focused on all things NFTs, DeFi, and more recently, Web3 social media built on Lens. So prior to this, Chris had worked in marketing at DeFi Yield, which is actually, I think, where we originally met. And then he has a background working in traditional finance. So, Chris has a really unique perspective in terms of this emerging world of Web3 media, especially when it comes to Lens. He has a very popular channel on LensTube or on the Lens protocol. That you can watch tutorials and explainers on all sorts of different topics related to this emerging world of Web3 media. So anyways, Chris, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, fired up to be here. This is going to be a lot of fun. There's a ton of stuff going on in the ecosystem here. So happy to jump in, ready to go.
Do you want to fill in any other bits about just, who you are, who you were before you got into crypto? And then I'm curious what inspired you to start to make the content that you do about Lens and other Web3 topics?
Yeah. I guess quick background from the U.S. Grew up in the South. Grew up playing ice hockey, believe it or not. So I'm a big hockey fan. And I was in the I was working at TradFi in commercial insurance for large catastrophe exposed buildings, things like hurricanes, earthquakes like that. And just really got sucked in early 2021 and decided I want to make a move into crypto. And actually, big shout out to you, DeFi Dad, kind of helped me. I reached out and helped with that transition, was picking your brain a little bit. And so, I worked in DeFi for a little while and then a couple months ago left and started making content full time. I was just kind of making content for fun as I figured out exactly what kind of next thing I wanted to do. And then I just got so sucked into the Lens ecosystem. Actually, kind of, it's funny enough, I'm not sure if I have ever told this story publicly, but I started posting on Lens almost as an afterthought. I was posting on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and things like that, and started getting a lot of traction on Lens and really kind of dug in deep because I just hadn't dug in deep enough yet, and just got totally sucked in with how many developers are building apps on top of the Lens protocol, how many creators are now kind of building their brand and kind of there's both creators who are newer creators that are kind of using it as a blasting off point, and which we can get into a little bit more of this later, to kind of the opportunity and land grab that's going on there. And then a lot of already established artists, NFT artists, musicians, people with huge, massive Twitter followings, people with massive TikTok followings, Instagram, have kind of come over to Lens Protocol, as well as brands as well. Like Chainlink comes to mind. A lot of these big brands, a lot of these crypto native protocols are now jumping into the Lens ecosystem.
One thing I want to cover before we go much deeper on this, there's a lot of new buzzwords that go along with Web3. And then I think to go with that, there's a healthy sort of skepticism of what does it mean when you attach Web3 to gaming or social media or whatever. Since we're going to talk probably more here today about Web3 social media, how would you explain the difference between what is Web2 social media and then what we're calling Web3 social media?
I think it kind of depends exactly who you're explaining it to, but I guess the easiest, simplest way between Web3 and Web2 social media is one, there's not a guy sitting in a room that can cut off your YouTube channel. I think I saw on Twitter today a huge DeFi influencer just had their YouTube channel just cut off for no reason. It happened to Bankless, got their YouTube channel cut off out of the blue for no reason. Stani got banned from Twitter for a little while. I think it was in response to him. This was before Elon took over. He was kind of throwing some shade, saying that he would be the CEO of Twitter, and just got shut off. So there's not a guy in a room that can kind of deplatform you immediately like that. So you've got direct access to all of your followers on Lens Protocol, which is super awesome. And that everything is on chain. So your posts are on chain, your comments are on chain, which means that all of your posts and your comments are now technically NFTs. And we can jump into this a little bit deeper, how people are using those NFTs to build brand, to monetize community, to build their personal brand, to build how apps are using it to build their brand as well, and kind of use it as a go-to-market strategy. So that's the one big reason, is that it's on-chain and your followers are yours. You've got access to them. It's all on-chain. You know, nobody can just cut you off like that. Is one of the biggest differences. And then I think another difference too is that, and I think this is actually probably one of the things that most people are most underestimating, because I think for the average user, you know, profiles getting banned isn't that big of a deal for them. You know, they care, but I don't think they care that much. If you ask the average person off the middle of the street in the middle of the country, they don't care that much. But one of the biggest things is the velocity of money. It's so easy. We saw this with kind of the NFT craze last year, people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on monkey JPEGs. The velocity of money that is happening on the Lens Protocol, and I'm victim to this too. It's so easy to spend one or two Matic to collect somebody's post, or five Matic, or even up to 20, 25 Matic people are charging for the post, for example. An artist might publish a song and say, hey, this is my one of one song. And we're seeing some of this on like Sound and some of the other music NFT platforms, but it's all of it's bleeding over into Lens too, because of such the viral distribution that we're seeing there. So I think, you know, first of all, you know, the on-chain and risk of deplatforming is much, much lower and much more difficult in a Web3 social media world. And then I think the velocity of money and the ease of the native NFTs built into the platform, where consumers can buy and creators can create much more easily, is probably the two biggest differences in my opinion.
It's fair to say at this point that even though you and I and many others are, you know, we're evangelists of using Lens. Lens itself is not truly decentralized yet, but it is the promise of it becoming a properly decentralized protocol. But I think the real like light bulb moment for all of us with Lens is the true utility of Lens is the decentralized social graph. So I basically fully own my social graph then, which means that my followers are mine. And whether it's a front end of Lenster, which is kind of like Twitter, or I use Orb or Favor or LensTube, my followers follow me, you know, wherever I go. Do you see any other features of Lens right now that you think are really working like that? Like, that to me is the one thing where I'm like, this works. The social graph is mine, and I am successfully porting across all different apps that are supported by Lens.
Yeah, let's touch on that a second ago too, because I think that's pretty confusing for most people. So to clarify, Lens Protocol is the back end, and then there's a whole bunch of apps being built on top. So I guess a quick synopsis would be that a lot of people are building Web2 clones on the Lens Protocol. So Lens Protocol sits on the bottom, the apps are being built on top. So we've got mobile apps that are being built, we've got desktop apps that are being built, and we've got a whole bunch of different other apps, and we can get into all the different types of apps that are being built. That's very important, is one that, so anyone can build on top of the Lens Protocol. So there's almost an arms race going on between all of the app developers right now to figure out who's kind of building the most popular apps. And you mentioned some, Favor is by the numbers the most popular right now. Favor is a mobile app that you can use on your phone, and you can connect to Lens Protocol, and you can create posts on Favor, and it'll deposit down onto the Lens Protocol and redistribute out to all the apps. And this is a huge difference too between Web2 and Web3 social media, and I want to touch on that and make sure it's very clear for everyone that when you publish from one app on Lens Protocol, it redistributes out to all the apps. And this is total brain, you know, this isn't going to make a lot of sense for a lot of people, but this is one of the massive advantages. If you're an early creator on Lens Protocol, you port your followers out, you port your social graph onto any app that connects to there. So right now we've just got clones. We've got Twitter, Instagram, you know, Facebook, different clones of Web2 social media protocol apps. But in the future, we'll see a whole bunch of different use cases that we haven't even thought of yet. And I think a really good analogy for this is that when DeFi first started, they were basically just clones of kind of traditional monetary apps. And then we had a whole bunch of use cases that we hadn't even thought about, like liquid staking derivatives and curve wars and all these different types of things that hadn't really been tested out in TradFi before. So I think that's a good equivalent analogy. And it's super interesting. If you build a following on one app, if you go to start another account on another app, all of those followers follow you. So for example, like when Snapchat got big and DJ Khaled was the dude on Snapchat, when Instagram, you know, when Instagram and TikTok got big, he became irrelevant on those platforms. And, you know, you look at the Kardashians and I'm blanking on her name, Jenner, crushed it on Instagram. But now the D'Amelios are king of social media on TikTok. And so if those Instagram and Snapchat and all those followers had ported over to TikTok, could be a completely different landscape. So that's one of the massive advantages that I think a lot of the early movers, whether they're brands or creators or companies or apps or whoever, is going to have establishing kind of that land grab early on in the launch protocol.
The way you frame that, it's got some interesting parallels to, I think, the heart of crypto that we've all, like, you know, originally fell in love with. It's just giving you more freedom to do what you want. Like, if you have a following on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, you know, most of us will never, like, fully understand this because, again, there's only so many folks who have the, like, hundreds of thousands, millions, tens of millions of followers there. Some of those folks can easily port their following because they're just that famous and people just will follow them on every platform. But like you pointed out, this sort of solves for that. And it goes back to your social graph is owned through the Lens protocol, and you own that through, you know, the same sort of, like, setup with your wallet where, you know, if you have a wallet, you own the private key. Like, you ultimately are the only person in control of that. I think something that I haven't heard as talked about as much that I think all of us would be concerned about in the future is, you know, you can lose control of a wallet if you don't properly manage the private key. And so obviously what happens if I use a wallet that controls my DeFiDad.eth or DeFiDad.lens, if I lose control of that, like, that creates a whole nother sort of issue. So I'm imagining that these are challenges that will be solved for eventually in Lens and other, you know, competing types of protocols that offer you a decentralized social graph. How do you think about this, like, new landscape of Web3 social media? How do you foresee that changing the way we communicate? Does it look much different than the way we use Web2 social media? Or is it just Web2 social media with a bunch of these added benefits that we've talked about?
I'm not exactly sure how it plays out, honestly. What I do know so far is one of the good ways to think about it, I think, is, you know, it's been, what, 15 years since Facebook came out? And we've had 15 years of social media and really only had a few successful apps, right? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Like, we've had four real apps in 15 years of social media. You know, and you can throw in Telegram, Discord, kind of some DM type apps right there as well. But, you know, for the most part, there hasn't been a whole lot of really innovation. I mean, is a vertical video innovation over, like, original Facebook? A little bit, you know, you desktop and mobile, but there hasn't been a lot of true innovation. But I think with the open protocol, I think a lot of developers are going to start experimenting with whole bunch of different types of apps. They're starting to experiment with different monetization strategies from a content standpoint. And one of the interesting differences, I think, is that, you know, for the most part, most of the value accrual in Web2 social winds up in the hands of Meta or TikTok or Twitter. And Lens is trying to flip that model upside down. Now, I do want to give Web2 some credit in that a lot of people made a lot of money by growing the following and moving them onto an email list or selling the product or using ads, drive traffic to a landing page and selling another product. So it's not that all the value accrual wound up in the Web2 corporations, but a lot of it did. And so one of the ways that Lens is potentially changing that is with what they call a mirror function. And this is kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the velocity of money and that how easy it is to buy NFTs and to buy content on Lens, is that with the mirror function, I can make a post and you could mirror it to your followers. And let's say I wanted to sell a picture of me because everyone loves me now. And you mirrored it. I could make a referral percentage to you. So if I said, hey, DeFi Dad, you know, you've got a lot of followers. If you mirror my posts, I'll give you 15%. And that's set in the protocol. And so that when I create that post, you mirror it and somebody buys it that saw it from you mirroring, now you get a cut of that. So what that does is unleashes a whole bunch of different distribution strategies, whereas you used to have to kind of go through Meta and Facebook ads to get the distribution. Now they're flipping the model in that it's almost like an affiliate type system that I think it hasn't played out yet. We're still very early, but I think that's a really interesting dynamic. And there's also another tool I was playing around with a couple days ago, and that it can allow you to pay somebody for mirroring your posts. So I put out a post and I was like, hey, if you mirror this, you can get one Matic. So it's almost like an advertising strategy, and you can set levels to how many followers you would want that post to be, so that not anyone could do it. You might have to have 500 or 1,000 followers or 50 or whatever that number wanted to be. So those distribution strategies are super interesting on Lens.
Those are really good points. Yeah. So a few of the major differences we've called out are the distribution strategy. There's a feature of greater control. What still I think plagues all of us is, can a decentralized community that normally has a core team, so there is normally some dedicated team, which in this case Lens was incubated by the Aave team and clearly has a heavy-handed, you know, participation from core Aave contributors, you know, Stani Kulichev being the founder of Lens and the founder of Aave. Question is, like, can you create an application, or in this case a protocol, that, you know, can compete with Web2? This looks and feels like I'm using Twitter, except, as we pointed out, my social graph, my followers just port with me. So I've used the apps that I've used, which I wanted to, this is probably a good follow-up into like some of the apps you find most interesting. I've been mainly using a mobile app called Orb. I've enjoyed using Favor at times, which is more of like a threading Reddit type of mobile app that uses Lens, both of which don't require you to actually have a Lens handle. And there's we should actually talk about that, the gating behind Lens handles. And my point is whether I use those or Lens or LensTube or the astrology one that got stood up not too long ago, these different applications, your followers are there. You just, you know, you sign in, and it's kind of like signing in with, like, I would say like a Facebook account, except in this case, Lens is the engine that is powering that social graph. I think you have, as of today, January 4th, you've got about 2,500 subscribers, which is going to grow like crazy on Lens. That's enough where it really does matter that you're able to port those followers with you. You don't want to start over again, given all the work and effort that you've put into creating that. Same thing for me. Like, it's several thousand, whatever it is today on Lens. And I'm very grateful that I can continue to engage with that same audience. And yeah, so like, I can't get past the social graph porting, but I know that there's more here that is meant to be built out, and there's more here that's meant to benefit us over time. But I think the skeptics really try to call out the fact that it's going to be very difficult for us to build a better user experience than what we've all experienced through the likes of, you know, let's say Twitter or YouTube.
It's a good point. It's like, no shit, right? I mean, it's going to be hard to take on Meta and Twitter and TikTok. I mean, these are some of the most successful, most powerful companies in the world. I mean, it's going to be hard, right? But I think everyone always thinks that, right? It's like, oh, can it be Twitter? Can it be Facebook? Can it be TikTok? You know, Instagram, whatever. And I've got a couple thoughts on that. The first one is that it doesn't have to. I think another good analogy for Web3 social versus Web2 social is fiat and crypto. I mean, fiat is going to be around for a very long time. Crypto is probably going to be around for a long time, and they're going to coexist for probably a long time. And I think the same thing is going to happen with Web2 and Web3 social. I mean, there's different use cases for both. You know, there's a lot of brands that have crushed it on Web2, and they're like, I don't give a shit about Web3, right? Now, they probably should if they understood what's going on in the NFT world. I'm sure a lot of them will jump on board, and the ones who don't will probably pay for it. But I think I think those are going to coexist for a long time, and there's different use cases for both. So, you know, it's a totally valid point. Like, hey, are you going to take on the most powerful companies in the world? It's like, well, they're going to give it a shot. So we'll see.
I mean, it's really important that Lens itself just becomes a really engaging and sticky product, because the more that onboard, then there will actually be demand, you know, to find your friends that are on Lens from somewhere like, let's say, YouTube. Because right now, there's about 106,000. I'd have to check the stats page. There's about 106,000, 107,905 total profiles on Lens. And I have honestly no idea how many are like active on a daily basis. I thought I heard a while ago something like 5,000 to 10,000. Where do you see the most engagement in terms of the different topics you've been covering? Like, you know, these are maybe the questions that are most popularly being asked that you're trying to address in your content.
Yeah, I've kind of cut out a niche in talking about the things that are going on in the Lens and kind of decentralized social landscape. Because I think there's a lot of, and this just was following curiosity. I mean, this is just the story of kind of how I got sucked in to the Lens ecosystem, as I just followed my curiosity and started playing around with different apps and started posting about them, is the simplest way of kind of how I jumped in. And you know, the content that's performing well on Web3 social is very similar to Web2 social. It's human psychology driven. So the hot news topics, you know, that of the last couple of months have performed well. I've specifically chosen to kind of stay on the topics that I want to talk about. And so that, you know, that was a conscious decision that I decided to make. But yeah, a lot of people are just kind of curious, like, how does it work? You know, how do I make a post? A lot of people are confused because it's on chain currently. So they're gasless transactions. And we're on Polygon. I'm not sure if we'd mentioned that before. Lens is on Polygon. And all the transactions are free and they're gasless. Now, currently, they're being subsidized by the apps. You know, somebody's got to pay for the gas at the end of the day. So currently, they're being subsidized by the apps. But I think as the different revenue models come out, and the apps will be able to continue to subsidize it, because I don't think that's a fruitful model to charge users to post even a small amount on social media. Like, they're just going to be annoyed, if anything. So that's one of the things we can talk about too, is kind of the interesting revenue models that a lot of the apps are having.
We could start with what revenue models you've been seeing emerge in this space versus maybe the models that you would prefer as, you know, a creator yourself. Here's an interesting app I just saw show up in the last few weeks. It's not on Lens, but it's in the same arena. It's basically like, I would say, I don't want to call it a decentralized OnlyFans, but it is clearly like Vine for that sort of market. And it still is subscription-based. So the model is, you know, you're a creator. It's a different genre than the creator content I think you and I are making, but you're making content and you are reliant upon subscribers to pay a monthly fee. And in this case, it's paid in crypto. It's called Mint Stars. Can't remember what the website, but Mint Stars. So anyways, there's one where it just reflects the world of Patreon, you know, any other subscription-based like service that creators like to use to support themselves. But yeah, what else are you seeing out there? What do you foresee coming?
Yeah, so we could kind of probably split this into like app level and then kind of what creators are doing. So first on the app level, I can't think of any apps off the top of my head that are really charging yet. I think they're kind of all experimenting with different business models. One that seems pretty obvious that comes to mind is called Huddle, H-U-D-D-L-E, 01, like 01, H-U-D-D-L-E, 01. They're building kind of like a Web3 Zoom, if you will, video conferencing where you log in with your wallet. And they've got some cool things that you can do. So you would log in with your Lens account, but there's also a lot of token-gated content or video calls that you can do also. So for example, if you had a CryptoPunk or something, you would have to own a CryptoPunk in your wallet to access this video chat. And so by extension, you know, a lot of the creators could potentially do similar things like that. So If you were a musician, for example, and you published your very first song or whatever, and you made 10 or 20 or 100 or 1,000 copies, it doesn't matter. You know, you might say, hey, you can get a free meet and greet with me on video chat, but you have to own one of these NFTs. So that's token gated. So that's a business model that they're coming out with. And a lot of creators are selling their NFTs essentially as posts. So I think this is another good opportunity for Lens to onboard other creators, because even making an NFT on Ethereum is still pretty difficult. I know there's a lot of website builders out there, or NFT builder websites, but it's still a little bit difficult. But with Lens, it's super easy. All you do is make a post, you write text or upload a picture, and that's your NFT. So there's a couple of business models that have come out of that. One is just charging for the content. Two is token gated community. So this is really interesting, and this has kind of only evolved here in the past couple of weeks. And I do want to say one thing quick. Lens is very early. I mean, we're what, 6 or 8 months in? So, I mean, there's the experimentation that's happened in the last, few months has been incredible, but I'll come back to the community. So there's a couple of communities out there that come to mind. One is called Gotenks, G-O-T-E-N-K-S, is a guy on Lens. He built up a following and then just said, hey, I'm dropping my access pass, and this is my, call it an NFT project, call it a token gated, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't really matter. He said, you get access to my Telegram group and you can get on a call with me, and I'm going to give away raffles and things like that. And a couple other people have also done similar models. One is Memester, M-E-M-E-S-T-E-R. And then another one is a girl named Jessie Fries, like French fries. She loves French fries. So she, made an NFT token gated thing out of it. So I think that's a model that we're going to see a lot more of, are these kind of community type things. And then we've seen brands as well. So Astrace knocked it out of the park. Astrace, A-S-T-R-A-C-E, is an app built by Marin, who's very popular on TikTok and Twitter. And she's like MC'd a bunch of conferences. And her partner Chelsea built the app. And they did an awesome job where they released 12 days straight of posts about astrology, and Marin just wrote a little description and uploaded a little GIF with all the different astrology signs like Leo and all the other ones. I don't know very much about astrology, but they sold like crazy. I mean, they sold on average, I think, like 50 copies at one Matic each, and they did a great job. This is an awesome use case where if you collected the NFT, then at the end of the 12 days, you had a chance to win a raffle to get a one-on-one Zoom with Marin, which you read your astrology and things like that. That was a great use case. Pussy Riot absolutely knocked it out of the park. They released their proof of protest NFTs where they had a couple different pricing tiers. So I can't remember exactly. I think it was like 5 Matic, 10 Matic, and then like 100 or 200 Matic or something like that. And this was kind of, I call this the nonprofit category. And they wound up raising over a few days, I think $80,000, 160,000 Matic. This was back when Matic was 50 cents or so, is another incredible use case. And then Yogit is a guy, he's actually the guy who first built Lenster. Lenster is one of the original apps that you could use on the Lens protocol. It's almost like a Twitter clone for desktop. It's still used, very popular app. And he posted one day, he was like, hey, I'm leaving my previous job. Lenster started out as a side hobby. It's Lenster, L-E-N-S-T-E-R. Started out as a side hobby for him, and he posted one day, he's like, hey, I'm leaving to work on this full time. Collect my post for 2 Matic if you want to help support me. And I think he did, I don't know, 17,000 or 20,000 Matic or something like that. And so just raising a ton of money. So all these different use cases we've seen between creators, communities, whether they're creators for music or visual art, we've seen a lot. We've seen the brands are crushing it. And we've seen kind of nonprofit or a bunch of different categories that we've seen have a lot of success on Lens. And again, I think there's little over 100,000 profiles and around 5K or 10K daily active users. When you compare that to, Instagram or Facebook, it's good to put that comparison with how many users are versus how much revenue is being collected on some of these posts and some of these brands and creators. One thing to note is that Lens is still gated. It's difficult to get a handle. You have to like message Stani on Twitter and hope that he sees it and hope that he whitelists you and think you're not a scammer or a bot. So it is difficult. But I think when those floodgates open, I think those numbers that we just talked about as good success stories are going to seem tiny, tiny, tiny when the floodgates open.
Chris, can you talk a little bit about why has there been a gating process there?
I think it's a bot issue, right? Because it's on-chain, it's pretty much more easy to make bots and make bots collect posts and interact with the protocol. So I'm not exactly sure. I'm not technical enough to understand how to prevent that. But I think that's what's going on there, unless you've got anything else to add.
Yeah, I think it's also a scaling issue. I wish, I never have like the sexy stats to rattle off, but like, I know that at one point Lens was either like the most active dApp on Polygon, where like it was basically like the most amount of transactions were actually originating from Lens. And so there's just a typical sort of scaling issue there. I do also think there was some intent from the start to have it be, a more curated community. What kills us, I think, now is there are so many people who want in, and I wouldn't want to say no to anyone at this point. And there's a lot more that want, they want to get on board because they see the issues with, Twitter and, other social media platforms. I'm not framing them as the enemy. I just like, they have like major shortcomings. And so this is part of what's really interesting about this new world of Web3 social media is you should have the freedom once you have that ownership of your follower graph to move. I won't address the elephant in the room of the fact that like, what happens if you're dissatisfied with Lens protocol? Of course, like, well, then I guess you got to find a different decentralized social graph. And I assume there will be lots of competitors that sort of show up in the future. I think another point you made is just the fact that it isn't like Web3 media versus all of Web2 social media. They probably exist, they will exist together because we're so small right now, especially in comparison to Web2. I think for a while, again, like there's those of us who might opt to use it. I still rely on, the likes of Twitter and YouTube because there's just so much distribution there that I benefit from. So I'm not ready to abandon that. But these are tools that can exist, in the same world. And I think like a bar or a metric for success has been that you have to be Web2 media. And that's just not true. Like I don't need YouTube or Twitter to fail to say that Lens was a success. That is not the goal here at all. I think it's about just giving people another powerful tool, which in this case happens to benefit from different elements of Web3, where you're a little more in control. You truly self-custody parts of the experience. And I think that that's a positive to be able to ultimately do that. So it's very likely in the near future that this will continue to benefit the creatives that you called out. There was the likes of Beeple. Beeple was putting out Instagram posts, I think, for most of his career. But he learned about NFTs and then figured out, hey, I can actually sell a digitally scarce version of my art. I think the world went a little too crazy on that concept. But that to me is a good example of like, this is how we're serving a group that really does need to be able to depend on their supporters, where they can sell a digitally scarce copy of their work. The idea is that it's providing new and interesting open tools that you can build with or build on.
Yeah, and it's a great point too. With how early it is, I think it's such a massive land grab opportunity. And again, with all the other social platforms we talked about, when new apps come out, there's a land grab for creators and for brands to get in there and be early. And currently, there is a higher demand for content on Lens than is being supplied. It's always supply and demand, right? Like there's a million, billions of people on Facebook and Instagram. So when you put out a post on Facebook and Instagram, unless you're a massive brand or unless you're paying for it or unless you have a ton of followers, 6 people are going to see it and maybe one's going to like it. Whereas on Lens, I think, I'm trying to remember, a guy just posted a screenshot about it today. I saw he put out a post on Twitter and got like 4 likes. He put out the exact same post on Lens and got like 35 likes. even though I think he had 6 times the followers on Twitter. So it's just noise thing in that there's a lot more noise in other platforms. So there's a massive land grab going on right now.
Yeah. How do you think about DeFi, if at all, merging with this world?
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. You know, the thing about Web3 Social, you know, we probably should say this, like it could die tomorrow, right? I mean, crypto could die tomorrow. NFTs could die tomorrow. You know, as much as everyone is excited about crypto, like it could technically die tomorrow. But one of the things that I think people are severely underestimating, and we saw this happen with NFTs, is that if Web3 Social and kind of decentralized social, whatever you want to call it, onboards a whole lot of people that start using social apps, I think people are drastically underestimating the impact of the number of DeFi and NFT users that are going to become as an extension of that. And I think actually the Trump NFTs, love them or hate them, you know, it's a great example of how many new people onboarded. I mean, it was the biggest NFT drop on Polygon for the whole year. The number of wallets that were introduced was massive, and he didn't call it an NFT. He called it a digital collectible, right? So I think for, you know, Web3 Social and even DeFi to kind of succeed, I think the average user has to not really think about, you know, what's going on. And same thing with like internet, you know, nobody thinks about HTTP when they're going, you know, using the internet. They just think about going to Facebook.com or, you know, whatever website they're going to. So I think people are drastically underestimating the impact that onboarding a massive wave of kind of normie users will bring to other, you know, bleed over into DeFi and NFTs.
That is a great point you make about the Trump cards that like recently came out. And on that note, then how else do you think about Web3 social media breaking out?
Right. I think it's just going to take time, and it's going to come down to the apps. I mean, for the last decade, you know, prior to the last year or so, but more or less for the last decade, all the smartest people on earth were working for social media companies. I mean, that's where all the Stanford talent, that's where all the, you know, the smartest devs were going, and psychologists too, to make these apps addicting and make more people on earth use them than anything else. I mean, a lot of really smart people were working on these apps for a long time. So, you know, for Web3 to break out, it's going to take some good apps, and it's going to take some good content creators making good content, you know, just like the amount of momentum it took to get any other social media app going is going to be the same kind of thing with Web3 Social. Now they've got a little bit of an in because there's a lot of people in the crypto world that, you know, want to see a decentralized social graph to succeed. So there's a little bit, you know, kind of a head start there, but it's just going to take good apps. It's very simple. It's going to take good apps, and it's going to take good content creators. And maybe there's a content creator that's only on Lens, and that'll encourage somebody to download an orb or a favor or a butterfly or a lentil. And I'm just rattling off mobile apps to download the app and try it out for themselves. And right now it's still clunky. Like you have to have, for the mobile apps, you have to have MetaMask on your phone, and you have to sign in with MetaMask, and then you have to sign in with Lens. So you have to sign in twice to one app, which doesn't make any sense to a normie. So it's just going to take a lot. And I think people are working on solutions to these problems. I think they're short-term problems. I think most people that are building and working on in the space understand that it has to be just as easy as downloading Instagram and logging in there. So it's just going to take good content and good apps to succeed.
Maybe we should end with where do you see the most exciting opportunities in terms of the world of Web3 social media, or maybe more specifically Lens? I think he called out earlier that there's a lot of engagement. There's seemingly more demand than the supply of content there right now. But yeah, what else would you, what sort of wisdom would you impart to those who maybe are new to it, or even content creators who are using other platforms that are considering moving to Lens?
Right. Yeah. I would just encourage everyone to start making content. And, you know, and content doesn't have to be making videos or podcasts or whatever. I mean, your content could just be making posts about things that you're thinking about during the day, or even commenting, being a reply guy. I mean, people bash on that all the time, but it builds followings. And there's a massive land grab going on right now on Lens. I'm calling all my friends that own marketing agencies and are working for companies. I'm like, guys, there is a lot of people on Lens that are looking for content. And I'll give you an example. I doubled my followers on Lens, and I don't have a ton, you know, I got like 20 something hundred. But I mean, I doubled my Twitter followers on Lens in a couple months. I've had my Twitter for 8 years or however long I had my Twitter, and I'd smoked it on Lens in just a couple months. So there's a massive land grab opportunity. And I mean, we've talked about a couple examples. Another great example is the Smurfs game. The Smurfs are, you know, like the little blue men are releasing an NFT project in a couple months. And then as a precursor to that, they built this game that you can use. You log in with your Lens handle and you can mix up little potions and things like that and get rewards on that. They've smoked it. They've done incredible. So anyone that's a musician or a content creator or any, even brands, I mean, Chainlink is on there. I think Asher Roth, the guy, the I Love College song from a while back, I think he just joined. So a lot of people are starting to join, but it's just a massive land grab and a massive opportunity to anyone that's ever thought about started a following or is an artist. Even if you're, you know, kind of a shy artist, even if you don't want to sell anything as an artist, you can just post things. And there's a lot of artists that are starting to take off that had zero following out of the blue. And now they're kind of one of the most high profile Lens accounts. And I think that's going to play out historically pretty good.
I couldn't agree more. I think part of the reason I've enjoyed, you know, following your posts, especially over the past year, is you're just digging in to, you know, every imaginable use case with Lens. And I think kind of like DeFi, but this is a, you know, this is a different era. We've matured and grown a lot in the crypto space. This Web3 social media, it's best learned by actually participating and using this. Well, I want to remind everyone then that a few things here about you, Chris. They can check out you on Lens, which really they could just follow you at Chris Comrie on Lens. But then if they go to lenstube.xyz, one of the applications that is supported by the Lens social graph, they can then check out your channel there. And then once you follow Chris on LensTube or Lenster or Orb or Favor or any of these, I mean, it doesn't matter. Once you follow him, you're following him across all platforms. It's just a matter of opening up the Instagram of Lens or the Twitter of Lens, which is Lenster. Chris, anything else that you would like to share before we go?
Yeah, I just wanted to give one more encouragement to people to start creating content on Lens, because I'll give you one last example. You know, there's, and I've seen this multiple times. So Bankless is on Lens as well. And there's people with, and they've got a decent following. Obviously, they've got a massive following on Web2 social. There's people with hardly any followers on Lens. I'm talking like 50, 100, maybe 200. That'll post a video that'll outperform Bankless. I mean, that's massive. How many people on Twitter have posted a video that outperforms Bankless? I bet not very many, especially with 200 or less followers. So there's just a massive opportunity, and it gets me fired up. And I try to encourage everyone that I can to take advantage of that opportunity, and that, you know, you can outperform, you know, a juggernaut of media in a couple days. So, and I started out, and if anyone's looking at my profile, like, oh my God, so many followers. First of all, it's not very many followers, but you know, my first 8 videos, I probably got like 2 likes. You know, if you scroll all the way to the bottom of my page, you'll see my first videos, and they were horrible, and they had like 2 likes on them. So, just words of encouragement for anyone that's considering doing it. Just start.
I would say from my own experience, I do tend to see more engagement there on Lens for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm being boring or something on Twitter, and you know, not putting out as compelling of ideas, but there's definitely something to that. And yeah, that's a real opportunity. So become an expert in Web3 social media. You'll be probably one of less than 1,000 people in the world who's even aware of that. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, how should they do that?
Yeah, I'm on Lens at chriscomrie.lens. And then I'm also on Twitter at Christafarius. It's ChristaFarius is a great way to get a hold of me. And if anyone has any questions or anything, feel free to DM me or tweet me or whatever. I'm happy to help. It's super confusing when you first get started for some people. This is a completely different landscape. So if there's anything I can do to help, I'm happy to help. And a lot of the videos that I make are tutorials on how to use things. So happy to help there.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, thanks so much, Chris. And everyone, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. And if you enjoy this content, you can subscribe at DeFiDad.com, which actually will link you to my Lens profile on whether you're using LensTube or Lenster or whatever. So thanks so much. Everyone, have a great day. Bye.